When we think about telling unbelievers about our Savior, we realize that that fits into the purpose of the church. In fact, does anybody remember the purpose of our church? What is it? Make disciples. That's it right there. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus came up and spoke, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and what? Make disciples. Making disciples involves evangelism and training. Evangelism is leading people to Christ and training them. It's then taking people who trust in Christ and then training them and equipping them to reproduce themselves. That's the purpose we have a grow group. That's the purpose we have a Bible Institute. That's the purpose we have a Sunday morning. That's the purpose we have Bible studies, is that all of us who know Christ are going to be trained and equipped to reproduce ourselves. And that's really the thing we've been seeing about. When we think about the unbeliever, there are three aspects, and we've been looking at it. It's our works, our words, and basically our testimony, lifestyle, which all ties together. And we saw our works, and we spent a good time on that. And we challenged ourselves. We said, think of some things that you can do when you go out these doors to affect people who maybe do not know Christ as Savior. Especially people that you pray for and you think about, okay, how can I even talk to them? How can I have a lifestyle that would bring them to Christ rather than push them away? So we talked about that. Then we talk about our words, which is really our message. And we said that there are two aspects of it. It's our prayer, when we pray to God for them, and our message to God about them. And we talked about our praying to God for them. And listen, let me just say this. If you haven't done this, you need to do this. Take a little book. Take a little piece of paper. Take a little notebook and write down. Just start with three names. Write three names down of people that you come in contact with that you don't know whether they're a Christian or not. They may be, but you don't know. And write it down and begin to pray that you would have an opportunity to talk to them. And then be ready. That's the message. And so we saw last time, and it really, the three aspects of this, our message, well, we talked about the message, and there were two aspects under the message, the gospel and the response. Sometimes people get confused. When we say the gospel, like in Romans 1, where he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. It's talking about two aspects, the gospel message and the gospel response. The gospel message, that Jesus died on the cross to pay for sin and rose again. That's the good news message, the death and resurrection of Christ. The response is to believe in him for what? For eternal life. Now, let's get that straight. The response is to believe in him for eternal life. We're going to trust Christ to give us life. We are dead in trespasses and sins. The wages of sin is death. We're supposed to be separated from God, except Jesus has done it all for us. And when we believe in him, he gives to us eternal life. So we're trusting him for eternal life. So that's our message. The message is the death and resurrection of Christ. The response is to believe in him for eternal life. And we saw that. Now, last week we started with methods. And we're going to look at three. We began one last week, and we went real quickly through it, but we're going to review it, and we're going to talk about three different ways of sharing our faith. Now, I want you to understand something. We're just barely touching on this, and we'll touch on it when you get into your smaller grow groups. But if you said, boy, I need to know more about this, you can take the 412, you can take the 22, you can come to me individually and say, I want to go more details. I want to learn some methods so I can share my faith, so that when I start praying for that next door neighbor and then God gives me the opportunity, I want to be ready to share my faith. We're looking at three different methods. And there's in the 412, we actually teach four, but I just wanted to show you three this morning. One is what we call the one verse, where we use John 3:16. Another is the thing we call sin and salvation. Sometimes we call it good news, bad news. And then the third one is actually our testimony, and I'll talk about those. And so I think we need to see it. And let's start. You're in John chapter 3. Let's look at John chapter 3, verse 16, one verse. Now, listen, you don't have to turn to John chapter 3. Because I bet you every one of us in this room could say, God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would what? Believe in him would not perish but have everlasting. We all know that. So you don't have to open up to John chapter 3. But when we share our faith, you want to be ready to take that one verse. Because sometimes I remember back in the 70s and 80s, and when I first started growing as a Christian, there was this movement called Evangelism Explosion. Started from a church in Florida, spread throughout the whole United States, and it was going to be a way to share your faith. Do you realize to use Evangelism Explosion, you had to know 25 verses? You have to know one verse, and you already know it. So sometimes things get so complicated, it's so hard to do it. So this is what's so amazing, is every one of us in this room could quote John 3:16. And so here's a way to share our faith. And just think about it, and most of you know it, but look at this. God so loved the world. Okay, God, that's the perfect God, loved who? He loved us. That he gave his son. Gave his son to do what? Come to the earth. You could even go into detail that Jesus is the Son of God who left the glories of heaven to become a man, the God-man who died on the cross to pay for sin and rose again to conquer it. So that's God so loved us that he gave, it's a gift, by the way, he gave his son to die and rise again, that whoever, what does that mean? Anyone, any human being, not a selected group, but anyone who would do what? Believe in him. Now, we got to understand that sometimes people don't understand the word believe, but believe or faith means taking God at his word. So faith is saying, I'm believing in Jesus as the one who died and rose again, who gives me what? Eternal life. So we say God loved the world, that's us, that he gave his son, that's Jesus, to die and rise again, that whoever, any person, would believe in him. It's not works, it's not our goodness, it's faith alone in Christ alone. It's so amazing. I mentioned it last week or the week before last, how that we in this room, if you said, what must a person do to be saved? Every one of us would say what? Believe. We go in our culture, we go out there, and you talk to people and you say, what do you think a person has to do to get to God or to have some kind of life? Almost everybody's going to say what? Try to do good. Try to live a good life. Try to go to church. So there's a confused message, and that's because Satan has a false gospel, and it's out there. And nowhere in the Bible does it say do good works to have eternal life. And yet that's a message that most people believe, and a lot of churches even teach it. So we say, God loved us, that he gave his son to die and rise again, that whoever, anyone would believe in him, trust in him, would never what? Never perish, which means to be separated, which means to go to hell. But we just say it this way, never be separated from God, but have what? Eternal life. And eternal life is life that lasts forever. Can you lose eternal life? No, if you could, it would be what? It would never have been eternal life. It would have been a temporary life. This is eternal life. So just using that one verse, you could say, if you believe in Jesus Christ, what does he give you? Eternal life. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He died and rose again. And if when you trust in him, he will give you what? Eternal life. So that's a simple way to share your faith. In fact, lately, I've been using this more than any other way. I used to use a different way. And it just seems like this is so easy. And let me tell you what I found. There are a lot of people now who do not know this verse. In our culture, more and more people are unchurched. More and more people are growing up as what they call themselves nons. Because see, people say, are you a Christian? They're non. They say, I'm nothing. And they're growing up without church. They're growing up without the Bible. And even people who go to church are growing up without the Bible. And so when you start saying, here's a famous verse, for a lot of people, it's not a famous verse. They don't know it. Now, for us, many of you grew up in church or you've been in church long enough that you say, well, that is a famous verse. I know that verse. And we still find people who are unchurched who still know this verse because it's still famous. But you're going to find more and more people don't know the verse. Okay, that's one way to share our faith. Okay, there's another way. We call it sin and salvation. We sometimes call it bad news, good news. We get to tell people about it. And so it'd be like this. You're talking to a person, and let me say this. Something comes up, and you say, listen, let me ask you a question. If you were to die, do you think you'd go to heaven? Do you think you'd be with God? Do you think you'd have eternal life and be with God? And a lot of people will say something like, you know, I hope so, or I don't know. And you can say, in fact, even if they say, I think I would, you say, why? Because sometimes they say, because I've tried to live a good life. And then you say, would you like for me to show you from the Bible how you can know that you can have eternal life? And so sometimes people say, well, I hope so, or would you like me to show you? And you could say, you know, it's sort of like what we call bad news, good news, or sin and salvation. First of all, the bad news is that we're sinners. And you could say, you know, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. Is that true? And if you look at the person and say, have you sinned? What do they say? Oh, yeah, everybody says, well, I've only found one person who said they weren't sinned, and he was an 8-year-old boy. Okay, so most people know that they've sinned, right? His parents sent him to me and said, he's ready to trust Christ. I want you to talk to him. I said, well, why don't you talk to him? No, we want you to talk to him. So I brought him in, and I said, well, let me say, everybody's done wrong. He said, I've never done wrong. I said, what do you mean? You never disobeyed your parents? No. You ever done anything wrong? No. I said, okay, I'll talk to you later. I said, he's not ready. He doesn't need a Savior, right? He doesn't need a Savior. So anyway, the bad news is we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The bad news gets even worse because the wages of sin is what? death. And so we tell people, we say, listen, have you sinned? Yeah. What do you owe God? What do they say? Death, yeah, you got it. What do you owe God? Death. The wages of sin is death. And so we tell them, here's some bad news. You've sinned and you owe God death. You only got two verses, and most of us know Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23. Most of us know those verses. And so you got two verses there, and you said, so, and then a lot of times you'll talk to somebody and you'll say, okay, so you've sinned and you owe God death. What are you going to do about it? And sometimes they'll say, well, I'm going to try to live good. I said, well, wait. The payment for sin is not good. The payment for sin is death. And oftentimes they'll come to the realization and they'll say, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. And then sometimes they'll say, well, surely God's got some way. And I go, yeah, listen, there's good news. Here's the good news. Jesus Christ, God has sent a Savior. The good news is that Jesus Christ died for us. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we talk about he came to die to pay for what? To pay for our sins. So the good news is that Jesus Christ died for us, but there's even more good news, and that is you can have eternal life by faith. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You could always just tell them it's a gift. It's a salvation is a gift. And then you talk to them and say, do you understand that? You've sinned, you owe God death, and God so loved you, he sent his son Jesus to die for you, and when you believe in him, by faith, you can have what? Eternal life. That's another method. I call it bad news, good news. Sometimes we call it sin and salvation. I think it's a great way to share your faith. And you only need to know four verses, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, and Ephesians 2:8-9. That's all you have to know. And you, since you already know John 3:16, you could throw that in there right under this part right here. See? You could throw that in there. So bottom line, you got it. Or you could throw it down in here. That's salvation is by faith, and quote John 3:16 as well. So anyway, that's another way to share your faith. So I want you to think about it. If you had the opportunity today, would you use John 3:16? Would you use bad news, good news, or sin, salvation, whatever one you want to call it? Would you be ready to share your faith, to tell someone how they can know they have eternal life? There's one other way that we sometimes use, and we call it our testimony. And in our testimony, we talk about before salvation, salvation, and after salvation. Let me tell you, it's a good way to do it, because when you look at the book of Acts, Paul, two different times, tells his testimony on how he trusted Christ in order to spread the message of Jesus Christ. Now, let me warn you, unless you've sat down and thought about your testimony and written it out and brought it to Brian or brought it to me or brought it to somebody and said, look at this, most of the time, you're not going to do it very well. You're going to spend too much time on what you were like before salvation. You're going to probably mess up the salvation part, and then you may spend way too much time on after salvation. When you give your testimony for sharing your faith, the message is how Jesus Christ saved you. And so I can help you on this one anytime you want to. It's a great way to share your faith. The first time I ever shared my faith, after trusting Christ as Savior, trusted Christ, I think, on a Thursday night. I went to church for only the third time in my life on a Sunday morning. They said, you're coming back tonight and giving your testimony. And I went, I don't know if you're talking to me or not, but I don't think you are. But anyway, I was. And they showed me how to give my testimony. So the first time I ever shared my faith with people after trusting Christ was through my testimony. And it was clear, because I talked about how I put my faith in Christ to give me life, eternal life. And how I thought it was good works and trying to be good. Y'all have heard my testimony. I wandered into the Bible study and they shut the door and I couldn't get out. And then I thought, and I heard the message and I trusted Christ. Y'all have heard that. Most all of you in this room have heard my testimony, how I trusted Christ. And I'm not vague. I don't say, and that night I heard the message. No, I said, that night I understood Jesus died for me and rose again, and I trusted in him for eternal life. It's a way that you're sharing your faith. So that's the big three. That's the way we're doing it. Let me look at time. We got a few minutes. So here's what we want to do. No matter which method you use, whether you're going to use the bad news, good news, whether you're going to use John 3:16, whether you're going to use your own testimony, you want to be clear on the message. You want to be clear on the gospel message. That it is the death and resurrection of Christ and faith in him for eternal life that you're trusting. The message is death and resurrection. The response to the message is to believe in him for eternal life. So we want to be clear. Second, we want to learn various methods. It'd be great if you knew all three. if you had your testimony ready, if you could do bad news, good news, and if you wanted to use John 3:16, that'd be great. And then the thing to do is pray for the opportunities. Say, Lord, give me the opportunities to share my faith. And so to put this all together, it all goes back to our testimony and lifestyle. It all goes back. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, our words and our works, whatever you do in your word, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We're to bring honor and glory to him. So it's by our lifestyle and our message. It all goes together. In Philippians 2:15, he says, Let us be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation in which we shine as lights in the world. We live in a fallen world. We've got to shine. We got to be different than the world. So he says, let us be innocent and blameless, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation in which we shine as lights in the world. So when we walk out these doors, we ought to be shining, right? Because we represent Jesus Christ, the glorious one. In fact, that's what Matthew 5 says. We are lights on a hill. We appear as shining lights in a fallen world. In a world of darkness, you have the light. Jesus is the light of the world. He says, you'll be my lights. You're going to be the lights in this world. That's how we're supposed to live. That's what we're supposed to do. So we got to think about that. So application. Let's do good. This is how we deal with unbelievers. Because next week, we're going to start with our relationships within the body of Christ and how we relate to fellow believers. We started, how do we relate to God? Now, how do we relate to unbelievers? Next week, how do we relate to believers? Well, with the unbelievers, first of all, we got to do good. Let's do good. Let's do good to all people. That by our works, we show the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus even said that when you show love and do good things, they'll know you belong to me. That's what he said. So let's do good to other people. Think about how you can touch lives for Jesus Christ. Especially, we're talking now with the unbelieving world. What can you do? It's as simple as holding the door open. It's as simple as talking to someone in the checkout line. It's the same as seeing somebody over there and paying for their meal. And maybe they don't even know you paid for it. Or the waitress will say, that person over there paid for your meal. Who knows? It's just as simple as doing everything we can to touch lives for Christ. Second, let's pray for the unbeliever and proclaim to the unbeliever the message of Christ. Let's pray. Pray that God will give us opportunities and let's tell them the message. Let's proclaim that grace message. And so we want to pray for their salvation and pray for the opportunity to share the faith. And what we want to do is be clear. Proclaim the good news message clearly, the grace message. Listen, I don't know whether you realize this or not, but not a lot of people have the grace message. People talk about it, but when you really get down to it, the message is confusing. I've heard people say things, I remember the night I made my commitment to Christ. What does that mean? I remember the day we walked down the aisle. What does that mean? I remember the day I asked Jesus into my life. What does that mean? Where do you find that? What does it mean to make a commitment to Christ? Are you saved because you make a commitment to him or because you trust in him to give you eternal life? So let's be clear on this message. Last but not least, let's be lights in a fallen world. That's who we are. By our words and deeds, be lights showing others the way of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. That's who we are. So this is a challenge for all of us. Chad and I were talking right before church, and he said, JB, do you remember that statistic? We talked about it in our SBI class. There's a statistic that between 80 and 85% of Christians never in their whole life share their faith. 8 out of 10 Christians, let's put it that way, never share their faith. And don't raise your hand, but when was the last time you shared your faith with somebody that you actually talked to them and told them about Jesus? And what happens is so many of us say things like, I just don't think I'm ready. How long you been a Christian? What do you mean we're not ready? I mean, you know John 3:16. If you said nothing more than, well, Jesus died for you and paid for your sins, and if you believe in him, you have eternal life. Great job. That's it, isn't it? I mean, it's not as detailed as you might want to go, but that's pretty good right there. So let's be ready to do it.